Jonah chapter 4. Let's do Jonah chapter 3 and go into chapter 4 because it's hard to understand 4. It almost runs all together. Jonah chapter 3, let's look at 5 through Jonah chapter 4, verse number 4. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, all the way through Jonah chapter 4, verse number 4. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be published, proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Precious Lord, we thank you this morning for your grace, for your mercy, for the fact that you was gracious and merciful and long-suffering with all of us here that know you as Lord and Savior, Father God. And we were just as evil and wicked as the folks of Nineveh, Father God. And we thank you for turning your evil from us, Father God, and then giving us the faith to believe in you, Father God. We thank you this morning in Jesus' precious name for the grace and the mercy that you bestowed on us, that we would even want to come out on this holiday weekend to be in the house of God. We could be so many other places, Father God, but you blessed us and changed us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We truly thank God, and we talked about it last week that the Ninevites represent all God's creation. All of us were lost and we were wicked, and we might say, well, I wasn't as wicked as Ninevites. Well, you was wicked. You was wicked. You needed a savior. Well, no matter how wicked you were, you needed a savior. And the Ninevites got a savior. And the word of God says in verse number 5, now remember, Jonah came preaching. He came preaching what God told him to preach, that Nineveh, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Now remember, Jonah was a prophet. And a prophet couldn't be wrong. If a prophet was wrong, then the prophet would be stoned. The fact that Nineveh wasn't overthrown but saved, some may believe that Jonah was a false prophet. He proclaimed something that God said was going to happen, and it didn't happen. Absolutely, the opposite happened. But when I looked at it, I said, well, you know what? Nineveh was overthrown. It was overthrown from evil to righteousness. It wasn't the same Nineveh. When Jonah left, it changed. It was a whole different Nineveh. So was he a false prophet? Well, in his eyes, he was. In his eyes, he had to go back and face his people that hated the Ninevites. And they were worthy of being hated. They were wicked people. And if you really study, I ain't go over in deep on what they did. When you walked into the gates of Nineveh, they had huge lions there. And when Nineveh would go out and attack people, some teachers say they would cut off the heads of the first people they ran into, and they would walk around the town with the heads of the people. And some folks, they would just scalp alive. They would flay them like you do a fish. And they was experts at torture and punishment. And that's how they made their living. They didn't have any trades. They just went out and they conquered a city and brought all their spoils back. And that's how they lived. The Ninevites were evil people. But God is a God of grace and a God of mercy, slow to anger. And Jonah explained all that. And when he said this is why he turned, and this is why he left, because he knew God could save Nineveh if he wanted to. And God did. Let's keep reading here. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh. The word came to the king. How did it get to the king? Through the people. And the people heard the message of God. And that 40, we talk about 40. 40 meant something. It was a judgment term. When Jonah came in and said 40, they understood 40. They knew what it meant. These folks weren't, they may have been without God. That doesn't mean they didn't know God. They just didn't follow him. And we knew when we was out there doing wrong, we knew we was doing wrong. Amen. We knew what we was doing. And we just did it. And today we're going to run into folks, and we're going to go to picnics and functions, and we're going to see folks. And such for some of us. Amen. Some of us are going to Nineveh today. They're going to be around folks that don't know the Lord, and they're going to be around folks that have no faith in God and no love for the things of God, no thought of going to church. And unlike Jonah, what we need to do is like, there was a time I was like that. Amen. There was a day when I was like that. And then I know some of us, like, been brought up in church, been going to church all your life, and you can go to church all your life and never be in the church. Amen. Okay? Some folks just made to go to church, Ray been in church all his life. Okay? And I really believe Ray's been impacted by it. I believe he's better because of it, but at some point in his life, if he hasn't already, he's gotta make a decision. Amen. He's gotta make a decision. Amen. For the Lord. And the pressure ain't even started yet in these young people's lives. They're gonna go out and they got to deal with some stuff. And they got to deal with some stuff. Let's look at our text. Chapter 1 of Jonah. Chapter 4, verse 1. Jonah was displeased. And that's a strong word. Jonah was displeased. Jonah was angry. The Bible said Jonah was angry. Why? Why? Think about it. Jonah was angry, but Jonah knew the word. Jonah knew God's word. He knew what God required. He knew what God required of him. He was a prophet. But when it came to putting what he knew in action, this is where the problem came in. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Okay? A lot of folks in jail because of anger and not knowing what to do with it, not knowing how to handle it. There's some angry folks. You be riding around and you may be just going to speed limit. And you may be going to speed limit, but you may not be going fast enough for some folks. And folks is riding around, flipping you off, and all kind of stuff. And you hear about road rage, and we live in a world full of angry people. But what's the problem here with Jonah? What's the problem here with Jonah? He's graceless, but he's a man of God. He's a man of God, and there's nothing worse than angry saints, angry Christians, and that is ruins your testimony. Amen. Testimony is shot. Amen. When you're angry, because the word of God is clear about Christians. We ought to be kind. Now, I don't mean we ought to be passive and pushovers and compromisers. That's not what it's saying.
Amen.
But we ought to understand this, that God saved us. Okay? And if he saved us, this is our testimony. He ought to be able to save anybody.
Amen.
And if you feel any different about that, then you're probably not where you need to be. And remember this about Jonah's story. Jonah wrote this. Think about if you had to write your story. Think about if you had to write your story, you had to write the truth about you and what you experienced as a Christian, because Jonah was going through something. And he's trying to explain to God. In verse number 2, he starts explaining to God why he's angry. And it doesn't add up. And he knows it doesn't add up. Watch what it says in verse 2. He said, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee. Now, there's a lot of I's and me's in Jonah's prayer. And you know, when I thought about Jonah's prayer, I thought about the prayer of the rich fool. I thought about the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican and the tax collector and the Pharisee. It went something like that. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. And you know how he started off his prayer? God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes and of all that I possess. I, the rich fool in Luke 12 and 16, the rich fool, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. You know, we have no concern about no one else. And here's Jonah praying. Here's Jonah's prayer, and it's filled with I's and me's. But what Jonah failed to realize, that when he answered the call, and when you answer the call, we all have to answer a call, you become God's merchandise. I don't think a lot of Christians put that in perspective. When God saves you, he saves you to be his servant. He saves you to rule you. That's too strong, Pastor. It's true, though, Matthew. And he prayed unto the Lord, he's in verse 2 of chapter 4. And he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Now, we hear a lot of talk about being a nationalist anymore. People say Trump's a nationalist. He's a nationalist because he, you know, make America great again. It's all about America. And he's not so much worried about other folks. And that's what a nationalist is. We're worried about America.
Amen.
Okay? And people say, well, you know, there's good in it. Now, Jonah was a nationalist. He believed that Israel was God's chosen people, and he really didn't care about Gentiles.
Amen.
Okay? Now, John 3:16, which you guys know is the greatest verse in all the Bible, says that for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's big. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, in verse number 5 of Jonah chapter 3, it says, and the people of Nineveh believed God. What did they believe about God? They believed that he can do whatever he wanted to do. Okay? They believed that he could do whatever he wanted to do. They believed that he would overthrow Nineveh. And what did they do? Based on their belief. And I said this last week, if you tell me you believe, it's going to affect how you live. You cannot tell the Lord that I believe in you and it doesn't have an impact on your life.
Amen.
On your feet and on your hands and on your eyes and on your ears and on your heart. To believe means change my ways.
Amen.
Something new going on here with me. And these Ninevites have something going on. Let's stay with me. Jonah's quoting scriptures. And a lot of folks can quote scriptures. Okay? I run into folks that can quote scriptures all the time. But can you?
That's right.
Can you put them in your heart?
Amen.
Okay? A lot of Christians are brokenhearted. Now, I don't mean brokenhearted like the pain of a broken relationship. Some folks can think when you hear the word brokenhearted, you think, oh, my heart been broke. I've been upset. You know, the church hurt me. Now, I don't mean that kind of broken heart. I mean your heart is broke. That means it ain't fixed.
Amen.
Okay? It ain't fixed. And when I started looking at Jonah, some of the verses that he used, what he was quoting is really what he was quoting. The scripture that he was quoting was saying, God, I'm broke. Please turn with me to Psalm 57. This is a very interesting one because Jonah is quoting scriptures. But what Jonah is almost saying, God, I can't live these scriptures. Why? Because he was a nationalist. He was prejudiced. He didn't care about the Ninevites, even though they was evil people. He knew that God could save them because he said it. But when we look at Psalm 57, and again, this is a wonderful psalm, and it's one of the ones that really applies to us today, because we have a whole lot of folks trying to do ministry, and they need fixed.
Amen.
See, before you can do ministry, you need to be fixed, and I know that may sound a little bit. Harsh. Talked to a lady yesterday. Just moved here.
But out of town.
And she joined the church. I'm not going to name the name of the church, but you guys know the church. It's not Blanche's church. And she joined the church, and she it came down to three churches. And I said, what? What determined why you joined a certain church? And she said, because I like the way they do programming. I like the order of service. And it came down to two churches. One was a Catholic church and one was a Baptist church. And then we went all into Martin Luther, and we went into the Protestant Reformation movement and all that. Okay? You guys could ask me that question later about all that. But it never crossed her mind to join a church because she was born again. She never heard that before. No one had talked to her about being born again. And I talked to her about Catholicism and the fact that, you know, when they get sprinkled at birth and that washes away the original sin, and they don't, and John 3:3 has no impact on that. You know, where Jesus said, you must be born again. But she's doing ministry. And it happens in the Baptist churches.
Amen.
In Psalms 57. Watch now, especially when we get to verse 7. I'm going to read some of this because it's interesting. And we wonder why the church has no impact. Because I think the church is full of broken folks. Here's David. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusted in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." What's David trying to do? He's trying to get right with God. He's trying to get right with God. He's trying to get close to God because you can't be used by God. Heard Sylvia praying and we want to be close to God. He said, "I will cry unto God. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Mercy and truth. They run in partners. Okay? It's hard to get God's grace and God's mercy without God's truth. And we want it. We want God's mercy. Oh, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. But then there's the truth that comes with it. The truth is going to confront you. The truth is going to challenge you. Okay? Do you really want it? I heard somebody, maybe it was Jeremy, it's going to cost you something. These Ninevites, when the truth came and they believed, it cost them something. It cost them their whole way of life.
Amen.
It cost them their whole way of life. And some folks would say, "Well, you know what? I'm not willing to pay the cost." Matthew said, "I'll fly away." You ain't getting no airplane without a ticket. Stay with me on 57. Psalms. He said, "My soul is among the lions." You ever felt like that? Anybody? Anybody ever felt like that? "My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Now watch now. David's talking about being fixed now. He said, "They had prepared a net for my steps. My soul was bound down." This is the man of God. This is the greatest king. This is the greatest king that ever lived. This is the greatest king that ever ruled. And guess what? They wanted David. And they wanted David bad. "They have digged a pit before me, in the midst there whereof they are fallen themselves." Now watch this now. Here's David, verse 7. Key verse. What's it mean to be fixed? Before I even read it, what's it mean to be fixed? To be set. To be determined. To be resolute. To be unmoving. This is a man or woman that serves God.
Amen.
Fixed. Come what may. He says, "My heart is fixed, O God." My heart is fixed. We learned that today. You say something twice. You repeat something twice. There's an urgency in it. David wants God to understand what he's saying. He's saying, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed." And we know David went through some stuff. David went through some stuff. David was challenged and he was beat down. And David sinned mightily. We know David should have been dead according to the Old Testament law. David should have been put away for what he'd done. But God is God of what? Grace and mercy. And David knew it. Watch what he says. He said, "My heart is fixed, oh God." The question is your heart fixed? Are you easily moved, easily swayed, easily pushed around? A whole lot of folks singing, preaching, and teaching whose heart ain't fixed.
Amen.
David said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will what? Sing and give praise. Claire been around a long time. Singing. You ever hear somebody singing whose heart ain't fixed?
Amen.
Trying to sing through all your mess. David said, my heart is fixed, Lord. Now I will sing. He almost could put a now there. Now I will sing. He can sing and I can give praise. How can you give praise? How can you get praise when your heart ain't fixed? How can you get praise when your heart ain't right with God? Jonah. Jonah knew his heart wasn't right with God. He says, David, awake up. My glory awake, psalm, string, and harp. I myself, I will awaken early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing unto thee among the nations. David was a sweet songstress, loved to sing. But when he was out of God's will, when he wasn't fixed, I don't believe David was singing.
Amen.
I don't believe David was singing. Look at, and I'm just jumping around, and again, we're talking about brokenhearted, needing your heart fixed in Psalms 108. He says, oh God, my heart is fixed. He says, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises even of my glory. Talking about Jonah again, I'm going to go back to Jonah. Jonah was out of the will of God. He says in verse number two, again, he said, I pray to the Lord and I pray thee. O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, I fled unto Tarshish. Why did Jonah flee? Because he wasn't right. He wasn't right with God. He didn't understand God. He knew God, but he didn't understand God. Why? Why did you say that, Pastor? The verse bears it out. He said, I fled before unto Tarshish. Why? For I knew that thou art gracious, a gracious God. What was Jonah saying? I knew what you could do. I knew you could save those Ninevites. And I hated them Ninevites. So I fled. I fled. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. Do you know God is a gracious God? Do you know God is a gracious God? Full of grace. Full of grace. And then he said, not only is he a gracious God, Jonah said, and merciful. God has shown so much mercy. All we got to do is look in our lives, and sometimes we count the blessings. You hear the song, count your many blessings. Count your many blessings. And we think of blessings as good stuff all the time. Think about the stuff God has brought you. Think about the pits that God didn't deliver you from. You ever think, you know, how many people that pass you every day? Texting and talking on the phones anymore. How many people you pass on a daily basis that God redirects? Merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. We serve a God of great kindness. Stay with Jonah. He's quoting scriptures that he's not able to live through. He's quoting scriptures. He's quoting scriptures that he himself struggles with, and all of us do. All of us do. I can look around the room, and a lot of us are going through. A lot of us are struggling with what God has put on us because the demands of God. If it wasn't for God's word, we probably would go opposite way. We probably would do something else, but God's word has us bound. Now I hear the man of God pray this morning. It's going to cost you something. It's costing some of us right now. It's costing us. Mm-hmm. But we have to do what God says.
Amen.
And doing what God says is not always easy. Not always easy. I look around. Word of God. Word of God says, husbands, love your wives. How about that one? How about that one? To the men in here. Husbands, love your wife. Jonah wasn't the only one that struggled. Great men of God struggled. Great people of God have struggled. Remember Moses. Moses was so upset with God. Jonah asked God to take his life. Moses was so upset with God. He said this in Exodus 32 and 32. He said, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, don't what Moses said to God. He said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Jeremiah wrestled with great loneliness and feeling defeat. And why was Jonah feeling defeat? He had to go back to his people. That nationalist attitude, he had to go back to his people and say, God saved the Ninevites. I preached to him and God saved him. Jonah said, I'd rather die than do that. He said, I'd rather die than do that. Jeremiah said this. He said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Why did Jeremiah say that? Because God had asked him to do some really difficult things and they weren't coming to fruition. And Jeremiah said, you know what? This is too hard for me. Depression in the Word of God is just common, especially for people of God, men of God, women of God. Anybody in here other than me going through? Remember who we follow. Think about Psalm 53. Talk about our Lord. Somebody said, well, you know, Jesus was God, but you know what? He struggled. He suffered. Psalm 53, that great chapter. So who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Now watch where this thing goes. He have no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now this is what we signed up, people. This is what we signed up for. This is the man that we're following. This is the man we call Lord. This isn't the one they preach. He is despised and rejected of man. This is our God. He was a man of what? Sorrows. He was a man of sorrows. What's that mean? Because some of us being tricked. Some of us being tricked. We think it's just wonderful. Jesus was just wonderful, and life is just wonderful all the time. Everybody's happy all the time, and that's the message, and that's hard to preach. That's hard to preach, especially when you get to know your preacher. Especially when you get to know the preacher and his family. You get to, the church get to know each other, and we look around, and all of us in here, we going through, and the preacher, I'm sitting up here telling you guys, happy all the time. And everybody looking at me like, you must be out of your mind. Don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know what I'm going through? I'm burying my mother. I'm burying my father. I'm burying my children. My kids is going through. My kids are struggling. My kids is going through. My wife is crazy. My husband is crazy. My job, my bills. I got bills galore. My car broke down. And you up here teaching happy, happy, happy. You know what Jesus says? You know what the Word of God says about our Savior? And we want to be Christ-like. I think this fits. He is despised and rejected of man. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What's that mean, acquainted with grief? He acquainted with grief. He familiar with it. We talk about bankers and we talk about, well, how can they tell if the money is fake or not? Because they handle the real stuff so much that when you get a fake dollar as a teller, because you're handling them so much, you know, this one don't feel right. But the Bible said Jesus was acquainted with grief. Anybody in here know anything about that? They bury Miss Kitchen today, tomorrow. Funeral today, burying her tomorrow. She leaving her little young daughter, a couple of grandbabies. Funeral's going on. It's 4th of July, but folks still dying. 240,000 folks going to die today. It don't matter if it's 4th of July. And then Satan don't take no holidays. Amen. Death don't take no holidays. Amen.
Amen.
He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Listen, what Jonah didn't understand is that lost people matter to God. And that's a good thing. Somebody should say that, amen, because we were lost. That's why he came. He came for lost people. He came for sick people. And we sit around on our little high horses, and we look down on folks, and we think, well, you know what? And a lot of preachers almost preach a message, God only came for the rich and the well-off. Maybe that's the only folks they want in their churches. And poor people come to a church, and the pastor look at them like, you can't do nothing for me. Lost people matter to God. If it didn't, we wouldn't be saved.
Amen.
Luke 19:10 says the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So why was Jonah so upset? Why was Jonah so upset? He knew the will of God. Chapter 1, we see Jonah running from the Lord. Chapter 2, we see Jonah running to the Lord. He's in the belly of the fish, and his whole idea has changed. Now he's crying out to the Lord. He's saying what? Salvation is of the Lord. And then in chapter 3, we see Jonah running with the Lord. He running with the Lord. He going to Nineveh, and he preaching to the Ninevites, and God saves him. And now in chapter 4, he's mad. Don't it sound like us? He sound like us. He's mad because somebody else getting blessed. Somebody get a new car, and somebody mad. Want a kid. What they got a new car for, and all that stuff. But Jonah has problems. He has problems with the power of God and with what God is able to do. Look at the text one more time. He's praying to God, and it's all full of himself. He said, I was yet in my country, therefore I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth thee of evil. He says in verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life. What was the problem with that? What was the problem in verse number 3? It wasn't his life anymore. It wasn't his life anymore. When Jonah says, take my life, what's he talking about? God had already took it. I mean, when Jonah signed up to be a prophet, it belonged to God. And when Jonah signed up to be a prophet, whatever God told him to do, they had to do. That was the call of a prophet. He made a vow. Whatever you ask me to do, God, I'm going to do it. But Jonah knew he deserved to die. for being disobedient. But you know what? God is still merciful. God is still merciful to Jonah. He's just as merciful to Jonah now as he was when Jonah was in the belly of the great fish. He's still just as merciful because he could have took his life. He could have took his life, and he didn't. He said, you know what? Jonah, you're a mess. Just like us. Just like us. And Jonah still was having an impact on people. We ever think about it? As Christians, Jonah's sitting here pouting, having a pity party. He's not getting his way. Now he's having a pity party. He's already proved that he was stubborn. The fish would have said, Jonah, you a stubborn man. Seriously. If you'd asked all the people that Jonah ran with, all the people that Jonah came into contact with, they wouldn't have had nothing nice to say about Jonah. Seriously. Think about it. How long was he in the fish? 3 days? How long did he have to be in the fish? He didn't have to even be in the fish. But he was in the fish, and the fish had to take him all the way down to the bottom and wait 3 days for Jonah to confess what? That God is God. What would the fish have said? This is stubborn. This is the stubbornest man I ever met. Self-centered, self-absorbed. What would the sailors have said? Think about it. Think about what the sailors, how many people come in, he came into contact with. What would the sailors have said on the boat? He said, he's a troublemaker. That's what they would have said. He's a troublemaker. When he got on the ship, what happened? Trouble started. When everybody was praying, what was he doing? He's a troublemaker. He was a troublemaker. Listen. Verse number 4. Then said the Lord. He said, doest thou well to be angry. What's the Lord saying? You don't have no reason to be angry. The Lord is telling Jonah, you have no reason to be angry. Okay? Why is the Lord telling Jonah that? He said, Jonah, the same mercy I showed you when you cried out to me in the belly of the great fish is the same mercy I showed these Ninevites. You've been blessed. And a lot of times we're blessed and then we get angry when God tells us to do something that we don't want to do. Well, Jonah, he's sitting on the fish, spit out of the fish's belly. Blessed life. You read about Jonah prior to him having to go to Nineveh, great prophet of God. God used him mightily while Jonah was doing what he wanted to do. But what do we do when God asks us to do something we don't want to do? God asks us to forgive some folks that we don't want to forgive. Can we do it? Can we do it? We have to. And then we talk about it. But God is always constantly asking us, we got to forgive. We got to forgive. I think about Cindy and I, 36 years of marriage. Some of you guys in here have been married longer. Some of you plan on being married a long time. Guess what? Forgiveness got to be an equation.
Amen.
Short memories. Short memories. Gonna get there. You talk to some folks that's not married and probably number one reason is Couldn't forgive. I think that's what they call what? Irreconcilable differences or something like that? Really short for saying I couldn't forgive them. You know what's painful? Just as many people in church get divorced as folks on the streets. Saved folks get divorced just as much as unsaved folks. Yeah, anybody see a problem in that other than me? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one way in, one way out. Sounds good. It's easy to say when you're madly in love. 10, 15 years into the marriage, and you know? Paul teaches that love what? Keeps no record. Jonah kept a record. Jonah kept a record. And his record was he hated the Ninevites. And he wanted them off, wasted away. And when God didn't do it, he got upset. He got upset. Well, how are you with Jonah? How are you with your God? I guess that would be the question. Because the Bible calls us to be Christ-like. And I think all of us in here this week, this day, we be challenged. We're going to be challenged. Amen. We're going to be challenged. And Jonah said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. Do you know God to be gracious? And then if you say you know God to be gracious and you want to be Christ-like, then it calls you to be what? Gracious. And he's merciful, full of mercy. Then you have to ask yourself, well, if I'm Christ-like, am I full of mercy? You're full of something. You're full of something. All of us are full of something. Now, Jonah said God is slow to anger. How fast can you get to being angry? Think about it. How quick can you get from being calm to being ready to fight? How long does it take? God's slow to anger. These are great attributes of God that we should try to incorporate in our lives. And of great kindness. I'm almost done. These tough sermons. Because they're tough because we're like Jonah. Look at the last one. And repentest thee of evil. What's that mean? God changed his mind. That's what it really means. God changed his mind. And I said it last week. God changed his mind about us because we was heading to judgment. We was heading to the LOF. We was heading to the lake of fire. And we were partying all the way. Laughing all the way. And God had to do what? Quicken us, as Paul said in Ephesians 2. He said, in you have he quickened who was dead in our trespasses and sin. And God had to wake us up. And you have he what? Quickened. He waited, woke us up. Because we could care less. We could care less. And God woke us up. Some people say, I wish he wouldn't have woke us up. I was having a good time. And the world keep calling you back, and the preachers keep trying to wake you guys up, and I try to wake you up every Sunday, and I hopefully get on the internet, and people hear the word of God and know they need to wake up. I was on the South Side yesterday. Rallies out there, stop the violence rallies out there. That's Nineveh. That's what it is. And you know what's going to stop the violence in Youngstown or in Chicago or in Detroit or in Cincinnati or in Texas? You know what's going to stop the violence? Coming to the Lord. They need to hear the word of God preached in a way where they can believe and turn, and hopefully God will repent of his evil that he had on us. You can get out there and play your loud music and dance and all that, but there's no mention of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
No mention of God in nothing. Now y'all say, well, you talk to a lot of people. I sure do. I kind of enjoy it, riding people around, talking to them, you know. And met a kid yesterday, got a shirt on. Save the children. Know where you want me to take them? To get 4 12 packs. And he got a shirt on, save the children. Okay, all right, got you. Maybe it's what we feed them. America needs Jonah. That's the name of the series. America needs Jonah. They need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
People need to hear the word of God. And you know how they're going to hear it? Some of you guys that were in Sunday school, you know how they're going to hear it? Just like Pharaoh heard it. And Moses went to Pharaoh and told him what? Thus say the Lord. And when Pharaoh asked Moses, who sent you? God had already told Moses to tell him. Tell him, I am. Send me. I am. Send me. Father, in the name of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning, Father God, for a word from Jonah. A difficult word, because Jonah knew the Lord and we do too. And we know what God has asked us to do. We know what God has called us to do. He is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of comfort and long-suffering. He's a God that repenteth of evil. Father God, there's a role that we must play. We talk about turn or burn. We talk about a change of heart, a change of mind. God is calling us to change our ways. Father, we thank you for the instruction. We thank you for the patience of the people. We pray for churches throughout our country, Father God, that the message would go out, because our world is in trouble. And folks is dying every day, not knowing you as Savior and Lord, and the church is just acting like it means nothing. We pray for preachers, Father God, throughout this country, so when they hear the word of God, when the preachers do preach the word of God, it won't be something weird, something strange. Pray that people be taught that salvation is truly of the Lord. So we pray this morning, Father God, thanking you for your church. And we pray that your word would go out into the highways and byways of not only this city, but throughout the world, Father God. On this holiday weekend, the folks would just hear what thus say the Lord, Father God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.